Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up? What's
up? Happy Monday. Beautiful outside.
It's all right.
The pads are on. The pads are on.
I'm ready to like go to a store, buy some pads, and like Zach and I can do the Oklahoma drill in the hallway.
I am super unprepared for that.
Why? You could shake me.
Not a shot.
You can't juke me?
We were literally
talking about how there's no room in the hallway to shake someone.
Yeah, I'm not what I'd call athletic.
There's 9 bills hurt. I don't need to be a 10th. That's going to happen to me, and I'm not willing to do that.
Come on, man.
I'm not willing to do
that.
Put
the body on the line.
Because then I got to go to the hospital, and they're like, what happened?
Hospital?
Oklahoma drill.
Hospital? I'm not that good at anything, dude. As a matter of fact, there's a better chance on the record of me having to go instead of you.
Mm-mm, my body will break.
Josh saw it.
My body will break. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Bills are, of course, at training camp. We will be hearing from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. He spoke during the 9 o'clock hour when Jeremy and Joe had offensive coordinator Joe Brady on. But first, we go to the West Her Hotline and get our day started talking to the one and only Sal Capaccio, who is live down at training camp. Sal, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good morning. Let's see if you can hear this. Ready? Here we go. You hear that? Hear that noise?
I'm hearing people hitting people.
People hitting pads, getting ready to hit people. That's the sled. That's a good old-fashioned sled right there, boys.
Yeah,
sled. It is pads time. In fact, they're going to be hitting each other here in a little while.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of like that extra sign of like how it feels more real. We heard Joe Brady talking about that when he was on with Jeremy and Joe. There's always that excitement, Sal, of really being able to add that physicality to the practice. You know, you're getting a little back and forth with players now, facing the same guys every now and then. So I'd imagine tensions might rise a little bit because you're going to start hitting people. It is going to start having that extra physical tension, so to say, to a practice that might make some tempers flare every now and then.
Sure, and that's going to happen. Sean McDermott said today, he's like, I'm not sitting here and say I'm against fights or for fights. Like, that's just things happen in practice, and you're going to have them once in a while as long as they're not cheap shots, and you have to have respect for another man's career. That's what he cares about. So, yeah, that'll happen, especially on a hot day today, like today. But, you know, listen, the bottom line is to get your job done. The bottom line is to work. It's not to be fighting against somebody. It's not to be, you know, tempers flaring and all that. The bottom line is to do your job in every play, get back in the huddle, do your job in the next play, and that's what they're out here for.
All right, so Sal, outside of it being the first day of pads, although what did they have on yesterday? Like they had like the shell or like part of it. Today's the first full day of pads.
The first day of pads. Yesterday they had shells on, but I'm looking to make sure they have pads with pants with pads in them today and helmets and shoulder pads.
Okay. But outside of that being maybe the biggest storyline of today, the second or even maybe the first is the injury list continues to grow for the Bills. 9 players now. Dalton Kincaid added today. Tyrell Shavers, it seems to be good news for him, but he's still not practicing. It's a long list, 9 guys.
Yeah, we have Dorian Williams is still out. He was injured the other day. I think it was his calf, if I remember correctly. Tyrell Shavers should be okay after that, what looked like a pretty bad injury, but it's not going to be too serious. Sean McDermott thinks he'll get him back in a couple of days. Cedric Grandparent Granger remains on the pup list. He's out. Curtis Samuel and Terrell Bernard both have hamstring injuries. Elijah Moore not practicing today, a general soreness. Dalton Kincaid, knee soreness, so that's not great to read and see. Dawson Knox was activated off the non-football injured list yesterday, but he will not practice today yet, not quite there. Tyler Bass has pelvis soreness, the way he described it. Caden Prather has a hamstring injury, and Spencer Brown still has his back injury. So, yeah, quite a list of players. They did get Laviska Shenault back. They do get Taron Johnson back after a vet rest day. And They did get AJ Epenesa back the other day as well. I think over the weekend. It's the first time I talked to you guys since then. Josh Allen now going to the other field, waving, and you hear all the fans.
There we go, and we are off. Sal, from this weekend, I know a big storyline a lot of people were talking about, too, just from what I saw at least yesterday. Keon Coleman really having kind of – he's growing, it seems like, as camp has gone on. Maybe not the greatest start you'd want to see, but yesterday he's got the play of the Bills tweet out, you know, every day, and it seemed like he really is starting to find his groove as we're getting into pads.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're talking about Keon Coleman? I lost you for a second there. Yep. You mentioned Keon Coleman, right? Yeah, for sure. I think he's had a – really good trajectory here over the first few days. He's gone kind of the first day a little bit non-existent. Second day, he started to show up. And then I think by the third day, he started to really get involved. Yesterday, I thought it was his best day whatsoever overall. So, yeah, I think Keon Coleman's on a really nice trajectory here the way that he's been participating.
What else have you seen from practice? I know guys like Dorian Strong as well has been getting a lot of headlines as someone that looks like the quote-unquote NFL corner. That's something me and Derek, I know we've talked to you about as, you know, when Bean selects a corner in late rounds of the draft, you somewhat have to pay attention. They have been very good at nailing these guys late in the rounds, and he seems to be somebody as well
I'm gay.
That people are very excited to see in pads because that maybe is where his game goes.
Yeah, guys, there's a lot of noise around me here. Can you just tell me who you were just talking about again?
Dorian Strong.
Dorian Strong.
Yeah. So Dorian Strong has had a really good camp so far. He looks the part of an NFL cornerback. He really looks like an NFL corner. And at times you'll see him playing like an NFL corner, meaning getting physical. Let me tell you the play that he had the other day. It was great. And then there was the good and the bad of, you know, camp and being a rookie. I actually happened to be focusing on him. And just randomly I was saying, I'm going to watch Dorian Strong this play. And sure enough, this particular play, he drops into zone. He lets his guy kind of go to the next zone. And then he wheels his head around and sees the ball being thrown underneath. Does a great job to just kind of attack it and come downhill, which is great. Well, the ball gets caught. And after it does, Dorian Strong, peanut punch, forces a fumble. Like, all right, like here we go. This is great. A little bit later, Dorian Strong is on Keon Coleman. They're jostling down the field, like stride for stride, step for step. And Coleman did a great job on a great throw to just get his hands up at the right time to high point it right over top of him. And I think Dorian Strong's like, man, what do I got to do? That is the ups and downs of an NFL rookie in training camp. But I really like overall the camp that Dorian Strong has put together.
Sal, looking around all of camp up to this point with pads going on today, who's the player through the first, what has it been, four or five practices that maybe has caught your eye the most?
Ooh, it's a good question. I guess for different reasons we can go with different guys. I think Max Harrison has flashed for sure because he's Max Harrison, though, and not necessarily because he's done anything great or bad or anything like that. I'm going to say maybe Matt Milano because I'm fascinated by him right now. I'm fascinated by where he is in his career coming off his injuries that he's had, the fact that he's, you know, 31 years old and still able to play at a really high level. If he's healthy, is he going to stay healthy? Because he looks really good out here. Like, that's a guy that's really kind of caught my eye a little bit out here. And I'll say, for a different reason, Deion Walker, he's just massive. He's so big. It's crazy.
Yeah, that seems to be his thing. I mean, what did Ed Oliver call him? A dancing bear?
Yeah, something like that,
just
right?
Unbelievable.
I know.
Sal, when it comes to reps, everything like that, one of the bigger questions still being about like watching the safety position, more in particular Cole Bishop. How's he been looking so far with Taylor Rapp? Because I remember I did see that Sean McDermott was talking about the rapport that the two of them are trying to establish.
Yeah, he said he's looked good. He's done a good job. And that is so important with those two guys with the rapport they have to establish. So no doubt about it, he is kind of fitting in exactly how they want it. I've always said, guys, as long as Cole Bishop stays healthy, this is his job. It's his job to lose. The only way he can lose it is A, if he's not available, or B, if something goes drastically wrong as he's trying to win that job. But I think Cole Bishop has looked really good so far, and I like the camp he's putting together. And what Sean McDermott said really reinforces the things that we can't see about Cole Bishop, which is how he's working in tandem, you know, with Taylor Rapp, which is great.
All right, Sal, we'll let you get back to practice day one of pads. If anything big happens, you know where to find us.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be here, guys. I'm just going to walk over right now, get some shots of the defense working. So look forward on some video over at Sal Sports on X.
Enjoy the sights, the sounds.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joy, Shore Border Attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your upstate Honda dealer today. So, yes, day one of pads is underway. There were some scuffles, it looked like, before the weekend on Friday. We will, of course, listen back to Bills head coach Sean McDermott at 10:30, one of those guys being Alec Anderson. It appeared he threw him out of practice on Friday, that he was brought up when he was talking with the media. That is something that I think all of us kind of like almost prepare for, like as camp goes on. It's like, when is the first big fight? When is when everyone got to get, you know, separated? I saw yesterday on Twitter, Derek, someone mentioning 2022 when Josh Allen got involved. And I remember that. I hadn't thought about that in a while, but I remember when that happened. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember my heart dropped because I was like, dude, get him out of there. What is he doing? And then what is happening?
Then after practice, there was more scuttlebutt going on while Allen's talking to the media, and he just did the dad voice thing. Hey.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that part.
No, that one was – that's memorable, the Josh Allen dad voice.
But, I mean, that is a thing, too. Like, camp does not go on nearly as long as it used to. There used to be two-a-days, and it, you know, it was a grind. And that, I would imagine, for the players was awful. I mean, it's shorter now. I mean, we're getting to a point, too, where they leave St. John Fisher to go back home. They go back to Buffalo, and they start working there and all that stuff. There also isn't the cut-down days that we used to have. If anyone's been watching old Hard Knocks,
and you want
to have those. That was tough.
You want to talk about tension. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's tension, because that's the first wave of cuts. You want to make sure you're trying to survive to the next opportunity.
I have been watching those older Hard Knocks, and it's been a while since we've had cut down days. Now it's the last day, which I do prefer, to be perfectly honest. But that was a thing, too, where, yeah, like they got to the first round, and you're just like, oh, like everyone has that same sort of feeling of dread. So you're right, like it'll ramp up the tension. But this is exciting. I mean, this is for a lot of people, like this is when camp really gets underway.
You could also just focus on it throughout until the last day. So at that point, you still have a chance.
Rather than worrying, like, fighting. I hope I get to Friday kind of deal.
Right. You don't have to worry about the first wave of cuts or making sure that you're getting out there to have more games. Yeah. That first wave of cuts happens, there's still more preseason to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a big thing.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thing why like the starters played week three, and then it was like, okay, everyone else, you're playing week four. Like,
yeah,
we're not dealing with this. The long list of injuries, though, going into today, it is 9 players: Dorian Williams, Tyrell Shavers, Cedric Grand, Pran Granger, Curtis Samuel, Terrell Bernard, Elijah Moore, Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, Tyler Bass, Caden Prather, and Spencer Brown. We were talking about it before we jumped on air. Most of those names are guys that you're going to want on Sunday.
They're guys that you want on Sundays, and the operative word for me, I'm not concerned, I'm annoyed.
It's annoyed.
Like, and the thing that I'm annoyed about is just luck. There's nothing to it. It's not like these players aren't doing what they need to do to protect their bodies. It's just plays are happening. And, you know, sometimes you're working out and something's just irritating you, or you're getting a rep in and a muscle doesn't cooperate with what you wanted to do. It's the human body, it's luck, it's annoying. It's annoying. That's all it is. It's just something where I'm like, can we not? And that's it. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. The team doesn't sound overly concerned on a lot of these. So I'm more or less at, can we just not? Please, yeah. Thank you. You're welcome.
That's a really good part, is that the team doesn't sound overly concerned for the most part. I mean, I know I saw a quote from McDermott today where he was just like, it's not ideal.
Yeah,
it's
not ideal.
Of course, your two starting tight ends are down. Two of your kind of rotational slot receivers are down. Your starting right guard is down. Your backup set, like, you know, right? But I do look at also stuff like this. Like, Curtis Samuel picked up a hamstring injury over the weekend, and kind of the thought was, ooh, this maybe is going to be a moment Elijah Moore can really start to establish himself with the ones. He goes down with something. You know, the two tight ends, Knox and Kincaid, both go down. Now, you could look at that as a huge bonus for some of the younger guys that can maybe start to gather reps because they'll have to be with the ones. But it's not great. It's just, I think you're right. The operative word is annoying, but you do hope that eventually some of these guys start to get activated.
Right.
That has been true for some of these guys, but they're slow playing it. Knox, I think, is one of them.
Knox was
he's been activated.
But Chenault was activated.
Right. So that seems to be all in all good. It's just not ideal. They have not had any of the big injuries that we've been seeing around the NFL, which is obviously a bonus. I know one of the rookies for Tampa Bay, Walker, he's out for the season with a torn ACL. Cowboys guard broke a bone in his neck. There are far worse situations you can be in. Don't get me wrong. But as the season is ramping up, you want everyone there. You want at least most of them there. And you look around, it's a ton of starters. I mean, that's really what it is. It's a ton of starters and key backups. Because Dorian Williams may not be a starter. He's a key backup. You know, Cedric Van Pran Granger may not be the starting center, but he's a key backup.
Right. And, again, this is a list of players that maybe outside of, like, what, one or two of them on your wide receiver depth that might still end up on practice squad anyway. Again, these are guys that you want on Sundays. You want to make sure, hope that there's nothing nagging going into the year because at that point, buckle up.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on the show. Though, do want to mention now, with full pads getting underway, this is a spot now, kind of from here on, where we'll actually be able to really get an idea of how good some of these guys have been performing. It's been nice to hear that Coleman is having better and better and better days as camp has gone on. Josh Palmer, his seems to be his connection and his chemistry with Allen seems to be getting better. TJ Sanders and Deion Walker, I've heard very good things from pretty much everyone that's covering camp. But now the pads go on. Now it kind of starts to get going for these guys.
We can get another evolution into the good things that we're hearing, though. That's the other part of this. You can hear more about this, especially with a physical receiver like Keon or the defensive tackles or a player that scouting reports say that was a man-heavy type player in Dorian Strong. Can he stay sticky with the pads on?
Yep.
And now you look at it and go, the pads are on. This is another step in the evolution of the camp battles, the position battles. You're looking at D-tackle. You're looking at wide receiver. You're looking at cornerback, too. Now we're going to see what we've got. It's another step. It's a palpable excitement, too, because when the pads are on, it's the thud. It's the real sounds of football. Of course, if you go to training camp, I don't think you're really picky for what days you're getting, especially when now you have to like kind of like put it on a prayer that you're going to get a ticket to go.
Yeah.
But the ones that are going now, I feel like they're more fortunate.
We do have word from camp. Rookie D-tackle TJ Sanders left the field with an athletic trainer. Nothing more on that. That is both from Alex Brasky and Catherine Fitzgerald. So multiple reports there. Still just annoying. Just annoying.
The annoyance continues.
But it's starting to get ridiculous. I am excited, though, for you brought up Coleman there with the pads being brought on, him being more of a physical receiver. You listen to Joe Brady with Jeremy and Joe, and he said it the first day he sat down with the media, too, about how much he liked Keon's game last year. Mm-hmm. And kind of was like pushing back, like, I know based on some of the questions I'm getting, other people didn't, but I did. And the connection with him and Allen continues to grow. It's tough to get a gauge, though, on where this team actually wants to go offensively in terms of how many targets are actually going to be up for grabs. Like, you know guys like Matt Collins are gone and Amari Cooper is gone. But are they going to be a team that throws all of a sudden 620 passes? Probably not. They were under 500 last year. Sure, weather game played into that. Allen didn't throw a ball in week 18, sure, right? But I don't imagine they're going to be a team that jumps up 130 targets or something like that. I don't imagine that
situation would have to dictate that. The defense would have to play a lot worse than it has in past regular seasons, and I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening. And so, like, for Keon, is it really going to be just doubling up catches and yards so he gets like 50 balls and like 800 yards? That might be a great season for him.
That would be a great season for him, actually. Honestly, like, if it got to 800 yards with any of these receivers, I call that a net win.
For me, I think a lot of it has now just become, I just want this offense to be efficient. I don't want us to be sitting here in November or December already looking to April going, okay, well, when they can add another receiver.
Furthermore, what Brady said with Jeremy and Joe. Last couple of years, we've had the ball in our hands with a chance to mm-hmm. take the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be efficient. We need to just be doing our job. We don't have to try to be playing the hero thing. And that is something to the offensive philosophy that Joe Brady seems to really wear.
Yeah.
He literally wears it. That is the everybody eats mentality. It is not just about, you know, spreading the ball around. It's just about, hey, we stay efficient. We stay doing our job. We stay confident that we can keep things going without having to try to do too much. Everyone's a cog in the machine, and we all need everyone working on the same scale, the same pace, the same efficiency in order for the ball to be moving.
And it seemed like they got there once they added Amari Cooper. Cooper didn't obviously have the flash stats that you want.
Correct.
But the offensive passing game got much better when he jumped in. Now you do wonder, with a healthy Curtis Samuel, hopefully, Elijah Moore, Josh Palmer, of course, a year or two of Keon Coleman, and whatever the tight ends and running backs are going to give you, you do wonder if that's where they're going to start day one. And if they do, they're in a good spot. They have a tough opener against Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where they can maybe be in a really good spot. I do look at Keon Coleman, and I just constantly wonder where he is going to fit in this offense. Not in a negative sense, but genuinely, like, just where is his role going to be? He was third for the Bills in most receiving categories from just a receiver basis. You know, catches, targets, yards, touches, the whole thing. I would say I'd want that again, though. Just be top three with receivers.
Yes, and especially if you're going to need a little bit more of a boost from, say, a Kincaid or maybe even James Cook out of the backfield, for example. Mm-hmm. But there's still something there.
Yeah.
If he gets to third, that's still solid. It's solid production. You want a player there. Do you want more? Of course you want more.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 803-0550, the number two call. Let's get connected to our fans before we hit our first time out. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start off today with John on the line. John, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. How are you
doing? Doing very well. Doing very well.
Question for you guys this morning is, I hope you're going first. Second, what do you think is going to take for the Bills for that game opener against Baltimore to set the par for our season? And also, who do you think they should have at the stadium as the crowd pleaser for the opening game?
The legend of the game.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you.
I have not thought of who they should bring on. John, thanks for the call. To your first question about Baltimore, I think realistically for them, look, they beat Baltimore in the divisional round last year. A lot of it, though, was selling out on the run, and they did get turnovers. However, in the second half, the defense had struggles. Baltimore was able to move the ball almost at will. That, for me, like, and in terms of beating Baltimore, does the defensive line take early?
For me, furthermore, because John mentioned the part about like possibly like a tone setter sort of thing, losing the first game of the year has not stopped the Bills before.
No, that is right. That
As
is
a matter of
absolutely
fact,
right.
Probably the opposite.
They lost to Zach Wilson at one point.
They lost to Zach Wilson for the first game of the year, and they won the AFC East anyway.
A Pittsburgh team, too. And would that have been in 22?
I think it was 20.
Oh, no, that would have been 21. That's 21, yep.
21. Didn't stop them then either. So I wouldn't look at it as the end of the world. You may just need to make sure online you're not following any Ravens people because they will refuse to shut up. But that's online. That's social media. That's a whole different world.
I think
I'm not worried if they lose to Baltimore because good teams beat good teams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened in the playoffs. Good teams beat good teams. The Bills and Ravens are good teams. They will beat each other. You will lose to a good team every now and then. Hell, it happened early in the season last year. It's not the end of the world that they lose to the Ravens because it shows a balanced fight between two teams. The Bills and the Chiefs themselves. It is a balanced fight between the two of them. They have gotten rather strict on the timing of it,
mm-hmm.
of the Chiefs only win at a certain time of the year against Buffalo, and Buffalo wins it earlier than they do. I'm really thinking maybe we can just do a trade-off there. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm really about done with that.
We don't need to. Yeah, it's monotonous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, change it up. Mix it up. You know, get a little spicy every now and then. But I'm not worried about it at all. As for the legend of the game sort of thing, consider it's the last home opener at Highmark, or as many will call it, the Ralph. I would want somebody that you create a lot of memories with. I'm going to suggest Andre Reed.
Oh, see, I was going to go Bruce. Because I was right there
same
with
era.
You on everything. I was like, last home opener, let's go to like a surefire Hall of Famer, that guy that when you see them enter the stadium, mm-hmm. everyone loses their mind. I think Reed's a really good call. I'd go Bruce Smith. Just yep. You're right. Like, last home opener, here we go. The Week 18 one's going to be interesting. Because I think there's a good
you're
chance.
Absolutely getting one of those players, the 90s era players there for that,
I was
too.
Because the Week 18 game, for the most part, could be boring, depending on how the Bills season goes.
Yeah.
So the legend of the game might be the most fun part of it, is the 90s helmet and then who's coming out for it.
Can I trouble Thurman for Week 18? Please.
I mean, it'd be nice to get the ball rolling now, because if he says no now, he'd be like in 2 weeks, but man, have you thought about it?
Thurman
like,
Thomas, if you're listening, go. Consider Week 18, please.
803-0550, the number to call. After this timeout, we will listen back to Bills head coach Sean McDermott speaking with the media before practice. This is WGR.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.